Greetings and welcome back to our study of Daf Yomi. And now, with great excitement, we begin the study of Masechet Nedarim. The handout that's posted along with the shiur is a two-page handout, because the first one is an introductory piece that has several significant introductions, including the Parsha of Nedarim from Parshat Matot, and it's very worthwhile reading it over. It also has an introduction to the Masechet going over what sort of things we'll be dealing with. But a couple of prefatory notes that are not on page one. One is that, for one reason or another, the text that we have printed in our Gemarot that represents the commentary of Rashi has been pretty good certitude, identified as being a later student of Rashi or from the school of Rashi, but not Rashi himself, and as such is rarely utilized, although it is printed in the text, and then chiefly the commentary that is utilized as a first approach to studying the Masechet is the commentary of the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim, which is printed in the location where in most Masechtot Tosfot is printed, on the outside of the page. The commentaries of Tosfot are printed in the margin of the page, and on the other side of the margin is the commentary of the Rosh. So, Rabbeinu Asher of the 13th century in the 1300s in Germany and then Spain. There is another unique feature of Masechet Nedarim, is as you see on the top of page 2, in a quote from the Achuv of Rav Natrunoi Gon, that Masechet Nedarim was deliberately not studied in the Yeshivot in Bavel for a long time. And as such, it evidently, the reason for that is explicated there, and we'll talk about it later in the Masechet, and we get to Daf Chaf Gimel and the issue of Hatarat Nedarim and the Kol Nidre problem. But the result of that evidently is that it missed part of the editing process that the Gemara went through, and as such, the language in Masechet Nedarim is somewhat problematic. It is also different. It uses different terminology for the cue words and the connecting terms and the opening terms and epilogues to sugyot. As an example, instead of the word teku, which we're familiar with in the rest of Shas, as saying that the question is not solved, we have the phrase tibayilach, which we're accustomed to being an introduction to a question, not the end of a question. And there are many, many examples. Rav Reuven Magaliot, in his small book, a compilation of essays on Sugyot of Lashon HaTalmud, has a whole piece of Nedarim, on Nedarim. And if you look at the Ramban, which is printed in the back of the larger Gemarot, in the place where the Rif normally is, the Rif and the Ramban are printed side by side. At the very end of the Masechet, there is a note of the Ramban, in which he quotes the same statement about Nedarim not being studied for quite a while, and as such it has affects the language. But in any case, we're going to begin now our study of Masechet Nedarim, and as you can see, there are a number of psukim that we have to keep in mind when studying Nedarim. We did not have this in Masechet Ketubot, but of course, going back to Masechet Yevamot, we had the Parsha of Yibum always in our consciousness. And now we have the Parsha of Nedarim, which is printed on page 1. And just as an opening note, and everybody begins the study of Nedarim by making this comment, you can see on page 1 that the Rambam explains it. On Daf Bet Amud Aleph, the Ran, before he begins his commentary, points this out. And that is that when we use the word Nedarim, we are referring to two very different kinds of hafla'ah. Now, the word hafla'ah, which we will use constantly through the shiurim, really means expression. But what it means is an expression of words that has a halachic impact of creating isurim, creating prohibitions. And within the world of hafla'ah, the word neder has two very different kind of applications. One of them is, as the Rambam terms it, nidre isur, in which a person will, as I pointed out at the beginning of page 1, will either prohibit some object or a group of objects, large or small, on himself, which means he will not get any benefit from them for however long he says, for a day, for 30 days, for the rest of his life, or he will prevent a particular person from getting benefit from him, or he will prevent himself from getting benefit from another person. Another person means that person's property, that person's possessions, etc. We have much to deal with in understanding all of that, but that's generally how we would identify Nidre Isur. There's another kind of neder, and that is the neder that is the focus of the large parsha of Nedarim at the beginning of Parshat Matot, which is the larger text on page 1 from Bamidbar Lamed. There is another kind of neder, which we've dealt with earlier in Seder Moed, which is when a person accepts upon himself an obligation, or upon herself an obligation, to bring a particular kind of a korban. Hare alai ola, hare alai shlamim, etc. And that is what we call Nidre Hekdesh. And the very significant difference between the two is in the former, you are abstaining and forbidding that which is permitted to you. In the latter, you are obligating yourself to do that which was otherwise not an obligation. I had no obligation to bring this korban, and now I do. And as the Rambam says in Perak Aleph, Halacha Gimel, as you see on page 1, he says that it is only the former type of Nidarim that we will deal with in Hilchot Nedarim, and for our purposes, it is only Nidrei Isur, which we will deal with in Masachet Nedarim. In the Rambam's frame of reference, Nidrei Hekdesh belong to Maaseh HaKorbanot. In our frame of reference, they belong really to several Masachtot, Zvachim, and Menachot in Seder Kodashim, and we've already dealt with them in Chagigah and in Megillah and several of the other passages in Seder Moed. In any case, let's begin our study. Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, v'charamim kacharamim, u'shvot kishvot, u'nezirut kinezirut. Four different kinds of hafla'a are mentioned in our Mishnah. Neder, cherem, and here again cherem falls to the same duality of nedarim, which is it might mean cherem as in the way that it's presented at the end of Sefer Vayikra, in which a person dedicates his property to the Beit HaMikdash. That is not the referent here. Or cherem, which takes on the aspect of neder, again prohibiting someone from benefiting from you. Shvuot, we're familiar with oaths, and nezirut, which is really a subset of nedarim, as the Rambam clarifies at the beginning of Hilchot Nezirut. Kinuyim, what are kinuyim? Well, we will see on Daf Yud Amud Aleph that there is a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether kinuyim, which is cognomens or nicknames for nedarim, means are simply the translation in other languages of the keywords that are the keywords that are used in Hebrew to denote a neder, lashon ha'umotem, or are they specific words that Chachamim set up as sort of a vocabulary or a lexicon of nedarim, lashon shebadu lahem Chachamim. We will see this in today's podcast. We will see the difference between the two and how it may affect us already in our understanding of the Mishnah. In any case, kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, which means that if you take a neder and instead of saying the essential word, which is hare ata alai kekorban, you're prohibiting benefiting from a person or enjoying a particular permissible thing, and you're making it like a korban, that's an essential neder. If, on the other hand, you use a cognomen, and we'll see what they are, not in our Mishnah, and we'll see why, then it is as valid as a neder. So kinuyei nedarim are considered nedarim, the same thing for charamim, thing for shvuot, and same thing for nezirut. Now, there is a shadow in our Mishnah, because there's not only kinuyim, but as I put in the outline, there's also yadot nedarim. And a yad, as the Ron explains, and I put it on top of page 2, is a short form, an abbreviated form, just like the handle of a jug. You pick up the handle, you get the whole jug. You pick up a phrase and the entire phrase comes, a piece of the phrase and the entire idea comes along, yad of a neder, and that's what we're going to see now as the examples. Ha'omer l'chaviro mudrani mimcha. If a fellow says to another, you are mudar, I am mudar from you, right? Or mufashani mimcha, I'm separated from you, or muchakan mimcha, I'm distanced from you, sha'ani ochelach, that I will not eat from you. Then, sha'ani toim lach, or that I'm not going to taste anything of yours, asur. And that is a yad, because he has not given the full formula. He has only said sort of the consequence of it without the essence of it. Nonetheless, that works as a yad. Of course, the curiosity is that yadot are not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, and yet they are explicated, and kinuyim, which are mentioned, are not explicated at all. The last example in the Mishnah, menudeh ani lecha, which is really a phrase associated with Beitin of Nidui. Rabbi Akiva Yach Chochech Bazel Achmir. Rabbi Akiva's tendency was to see this stringently and to forbid and to see it like the other phrases. Okay, now the Gemara on Daf Bet Amud Bet immediately does what we find at the beginning of many Masechtot, and according to the testimony of Rav Shura Gaon, the opening pieces in some of the Masechtot, he specifically talks about Kiddushin, are of a very late addition to the Gemara, because their focus is really on the language and the structure of the Mishnah, which is not generally the interest of the Amoraim. But in any case, we will see, Kol Kinyanei Nedarim Kinedarim, Ma'ishna Gabe Nazir Delo Ktani Lehu Lekulhu. We will see in the beginning of Masechet Nazir, about 3 months from now, that the same phrase shows up, Kol Kinyanei Nazirut Kinezirut. But it doesn't give us the whole list of Nedarim and Shvuot and Charimim, it just says Nazirut. So how come in the case of Nazir, it doesn't mention the whole list? And in the case of Nedarim, it gives the whole list. The answer is, Mishum de Neder Ushvua Ktivi Gabe Hadadi. Since Neder and Shvua are written in our Parsha, take a look on page 1. The Pasuk says, Ki Yidor Neder Ladonai Ohishava Shvua. Ohishava Shvua. Since they're written together, Tani Tartin. Therefore, we learn both of them. Tani Tartin, Tani the Chulu. Since we're going to mention Nedarim and Shvuot, so they threw in all the Haflaot. Valitni Kinuye Shvuot Bater Nedarim. So if that's the case, it should say Kol Kinuye Nedarim Kinedarim, and then Kinuye Shvuot Kishvuot, and follow the Psukim, and then do Cherem and Nezirut afterwards. The answer is Aydi Tani Nedarim de Mitzar Heftza Ale, and this cuts to the essential difference between a Neder and a Shvuot, in which a Neder applies a prohibition on the object. This apple is now prohibited to me. This property is now prohibited to me. Things that you own are prohibited to me. Unlike a shvua in which it devolves upon the individual, a split that we refer to as Isur Heftza in the case of Nedarim and Isur Gavra in the case of Shvuot. So since Nedarim are Isur Heftza, Taninami Charamim de Mitzar Heftza Lei. So therefore we mention Cherem, which also applies and devolves upon the object, not upon the person. Afuke Shvua de Kasanav Shemin Heftza, as opposed to an oath in which it devolves upon you, and you're removing yourself from the object, not the object from you. Later on in our Masechet, and later on in Shvuot also, we will see how the difference between an Isur Heftza and Isur Gavra plays out practically. Now, the next concern here is the structure of the Mishnah. Patach b'chinuyin, we started out by describing kinuyim. Kol kinuyin nedarim, etc. Umefaresh yadot. But then the examples given are not kinuyim, but yadot, which weren't even mentioned. Hamelech avro mudarni mimcha, etc. The two, yadot inshi. Besides that, yadot were ignored, were left out. They weren't mentioned in the Mishnah. So the answer is ayri bahon. The answer is we are talking about them. V'chasur mechzar v'achitani. We have a missing piece. Kol kinu nedarim kinedarim v'yadot nedarim kinedarim. So kinuyim are like nedarim and yadot are also there. And again, as we've said several times, when we have this phrase, chasur mechzar v'achitani, there are two different ways to understand it. One means that the Mishnah was taught exactly the way that we have the Mishnah. However, what was understood among the original students of the Mishnah was that there was this shadow statement that should be understood as being there, or it means that something in the transmission was missed and we're reconstructing it. Really, it should be Kol Kinuyim Nedarim Kinedarim, Yadot Nedarim Kinedarim. So if that's the case, that Kinuyim and then Yadot are there, in other words, Kinuyim, which we have in our Mishnah, and then Yadot should be understood to be there, then we don't understand the order of the rest of the Mishnah. V'lifrush kinuyim bereisha. So if that's the case, why doesn't the Mishnah then give examples of kinuyim first, which we're only going to get to in the next Mishnah? The answer is, ahuda salig minei ahuma farish bereisha. The answer is, if it said kinuyim and yadot, the first thing that we do is explicate yadot. In other words, we said, okay, there's A and there's B. Let's talk about B, and then we'll go back to A. Alright, which is one way of doing things. Kininan, we have several examples. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Shabbat, Bameh Madlikin of Mayin Madlikin. What kind of wicks and oils may you use for Nerot Shabbat, and which kind may you not use? And then the first thing it says is, Ein Madlikin, which ones you can't use. Now, in that case, it's a little unfair because we never find out which ones you can use, it's just everything that wasn't mentioned in the ones you can't use. Okay, now, Bameh Tomin of Mayin Tomin. However, this is a little fair. In the fourth parak of Shabbat, it says, what things may you use to cover up a pot for when you're burying it before Shabbat, and which may you not use. And then it says Eim Tonin Behevel, etc., etc. And then it lists what you can't use. So it said what you may use, what you can't use, and then it explicated what you can't use. But Ma'isha Yotzah, Ma'isha Ne Yotzah, what are considered clothing? In the case starting out in the sixth parak, for women, that she may wear Bershut Rabim, which is considered caring, and therefore she may not wear. And then it starts, Lo Tetzei Isha, so it says what you may wear, what you may not wear, and now it explicates what you may not wear. So that means that the order that we've identified in Tana Itik style is to say, well, we're going to deal with category A and category B, and now we'll talk about category B, and we'll get back to category A later. But v'chol eichad patach la lo mefarsh bereisha, is that really true? That we don't go back to A, we don't go in a systematic order, but rather in a symmetrical order, where we go A, B, and then explain B before A. V'atanan yishno chlinu manchilin, or chlinu v'lo manchilin. We have the Mishnah at the beginning of the eighth parak of Bava Batra. It says some people inherit and bequeath, some people only inherit, don't bequeath, etc. And then ve'elu no chlinu manchilin. So after it gave the four categories of some inherit and bequeath, some inherit, don't bequeath, some bequeath, don't inherit, and some do neither, then it went back to go to the first category. So we have A, B, C, and D, and now let's explicate A. Or in Yivamot, Yesh mutarot levalehen, vasarot limehen, mutarot limehen, vasarot lebalehen. There are some who are mutar to their husbands, but not to their yavam, and vice versa, and some asur to both, and some mutar to both. Ve'elu mutarot levalehen, vasarot limehen, and they went back to number one. Now notice that in the examples we brought where it went A, B, B, A, we only had two, either A or B. You may or you may not. And the ones that we saw that were counterexamples, we saw that there were many more. There were two variables, which left us with four categories. Some have A and B, some have A and not B, some have B and not A, some have neither. So then it's easier to go back to stay in order, because if you go symmetrically, it gets very confusing. Another example, Yesh Tunot Shemen Ulevona, this is in Menachot, Shemen Velo Levona, etc. And again, you have four. Some menachot need oil and the frankincense. Some need oil, only oil. Some need only frankincense. Some need neither. Ve'elu tunot shemen ulevona goes back to the beginning. Yesh tunot hagasha, again in menachot. Ve'en tunot tnufa. Hagasha is bringing close to his be'ach. Tnufa is lifting the mincha up in the air. Right? Tnufa v'lo hagasha. And again, there you have four, because anytime you have two variables, you're going to have four, because you're going to have A and B, A, B, neither. Ve'elu tunot hagasha. Yesh b'chor l'nachala v'ein b'chor l'kohen. Again, with the issue of b'chor. Sometimes a child will be considered a b'chor as far as inheritance, getting the double portion. And there's also the issue of being a b'chor as far as pidyon ben. And there's a kind of b'chor in which he will be both. Once it will only be one, only the other, and be neither. So again, you have four possibilities. V'ezu b'chor l'nachala v'ein b'chor l'kohen. Where do you have a case where it's A and B? So the answer we give, as we identified, is halein nishum da avshule. In those cases, because there's so many different categories, before shahud patach bereisha, we go back to number one. As we say, there's one, there's two, there's three, and four. Let's explicate one. But in our example, in our mishnah, the couple examples from Shabbat we brought, they are all where there's just one and two, A or B. So we start with B and then go back to A. But the fifth parak of Shabbat, which talks about things that animals may be wearing, delo avsha. There, you only have either A or B. You can wear it or can't wear it. Uktani yotzei gamal. It said, what can it wear, what can it not wear? And it started out by saying what it can wear. So we see that there really is not one consistent pattern here. Alolav dafka, the answer is it's not consistent. Zimnin ufar shahuda patach bereisha, sometimes the Tana will go back to A, or number one. Zimnin ahuda salg ufar shbereisha, sometimes he'll start, pick up from the last part of the list and explicate that. So one answer is that it's not exactly random, but it's a little bit arbitrary, and therefore you can't really challenge the structure of our Mishnah, because the Mishnah could go one way or the other. Vibaitema, there's another possibility. Yadot Airi, Aidi the Atin Midrasha, because the whole notion that a yad works at all is something that we get out of a drasha, Mefarsh Lahon Bereisha. In other words, the Tana has an affection for Yadot, because Yadot is something that we got out of a drasha. It's not explicit in the text, and therefore he wants to talk about it first. But if that's the case, Velifta Chaden Bereisha, So why doesn't he start with that? Why doesn't he say, Yadot Nedarim Kenedarim, because we love it so much, Kinoyin Nedarim Kenedarim also, and then give explanations. In other words, go one and two and explicate one. The answer is, Miftach Patach Kinoyin Da'oraita Bereisha. The answer is, he wants to start with Kinoyim, because Kinoyim are Da'oraita. Right? V'hadam Afarish Yadot Ta'atim Midrasha. And then he says Yadot, which comes from a drasha, and then he builds up Yadot. All right. That only works if we accept the principle that Rabbi Yochanan says, and Daf Yod, and I already mentioned it, that kinuyim are simply other languages. In other words, all we're saying is, if you say a neder in another language, it's valid. But according to Resh Lakish, who said that kinuyim are not simply a translation of a neder, but there's some lexicon built up by the Chachamim for Nedarim, Ma'ika L'meim, how can you explain it? Meaning that now Yadot are, Kinuyim are just as complex and just as difficult as Yadot, there'd be no reason to start by explaining Yadot. We should, if Kinuyim are easy and easy to explain, so we don't have to explain them right away. But if Kinuyim are just as confusing as Yadot, then we should explain the Kinuyim first. And we should have the examples of Kinuyim in our Mishnah, not Yadot. Well, the answer is that we started with a somewhat misleading premise. When we said, after all, Yadot are not mentioned in the Mishnah, we said Chasuri Mechsara, we said, okay, Yadot are sort of the shadow statement that's not explicit in the Mishnah, we immediately inserted it after Kinuyim. We said Kinuyim, Kinuyim, and also Yadot. And therefore, our order was Kinuyim and Yadot, and we keep asking, so why did you start with Yadot? We came up with a whole explanation. But who says, if it's a shadow, who says that's where it fits? Maybe it actually fits first. Miktani Yadot, who the Yadot isn't written. Well, Av Chasoy Kamachai Sot La, but wait, didn't you say it's a shadow statement that should be understood? The answer is Akdim Nami Vatani. So fine, if it's a shadow statement, understand it to be first. Yadot, Kol Yadot Nedarim Kenedarim, Mechol Kinuyei Nedarim Kenedarim. And then it's very simple. The Mishnah really says Yadot, it for some reason was omitted. But Yadot are first, then Kinuyim, and now we're going to give examples of Yadot, and everything's fine. Ve'elu hen Yadot, Amar l'chaveru, said Ve'elu hen Kinuyim, what are Kinuyim in the next Mishnah? Konam, Konach, Konas, etc. We'll see that in the next Mishnah. Alright, so up until now, what we've dealt with from the beginning of the Gemara is simply the inclusion and the structure of the Mishnah. And we've finally come to the conclusion that we have to understand Yadot as being in the Mishnah, but let's understand Yadot as being the first statement of the Mishnah, and it was omitted, either deliberately, or else, by error. And therefore, it says Yadot Nedarim Kenedarim, Kinuyei Nedarim Kenedarim, and now we'll explain Yadot going in order, and then later on explain Kinuyim in the next Mishnah. Good. But now, where does Yadot come from? The idea that you could say half a statement and it will be a valid hafla'ah, as if you said the entire statement, not so simple. V'yadot hechaktiv, where does it say that? So the answer is in pasuk number one on the page. The pasuk says in the introduction to the laws of a nazir, ish, etc., ki afli lindor neder nazir lahazir. Right? So liafli, that's where the word hafla'ah comes from, if he has this expression, to vow a vow of an abstinence to abstain. Nazir. V'tanya, and we have a bright that says, Nazir lahazir, what's that there? Lasod kinyin nizirut kinizirut v'yadot nizirut kinizirut. Nazir lahazir is there to expand the possible ways of making yourself a nazir, not just by saying hareni nazir, but even if you say hareni naziach, paziach, all the different variations which are kinuyim, or if you say yad, and the classic example of yad, I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, would be if somebody else took if you saw a nazir passing by, and you pointed and say, I'm like that. That would be an example of a yad. I'll talk about yad mochiach, yad shen mochiach, a little later on. Good, so now, the Braita says this is only true about nazir. Ein li elan benazirut. Benedarim yinayin, how do I know to apply this principle that kinuyim are like the statement itself, for Nedarim. Tamalomar Ishki Afli Lindor Neder Nazir Lahazir. Because in the same Pasuk it says Lindor Neder and Nazir Lahazir. So the Makish Nazirut Lindarim and Darina Nazirut. We now have a two-way highway connecting Nezirut and Nedarim from Nindor Neder, Nazir Lahazir, and we have them next to each other. So there's a Hekesh. Makish Nezirut Nedarim, Nedarim Nezirut. Ma Nezirut Asabo Yadot Nezirut Kinezirut. Just like in Nezirut, we say that Yadot and Kinoyim are considered the full statement. So the same thing in the Darim. So now we know how Yadot are valid in the Darim. They really come from Nazir. And now we have a two-way highway. So what are we going to do with our what we know about Nedarim and apply them to Nezirut? Take a look at Pasuk number 2 and Pasuk number 3, both of which are taken also from page 1. Bal Yachel, the violation of the Torah, that if you do not fulfill your vow, do not maintain the abstinence that you took, it's a lav. And Bal Teacher, that those commitments that you make, in Nidre Hektesh, which of course Nazir has both components, because at the end of your Nazirut you have to be a Korban, that you violate Bal Teacher, after one regal, two regalim, whatever the shear is, the Sugin Roshana, Af Nazirut Over Bal Yachel Bal Teacher, just like with Nidarim. You have Bal Yachel and Bal Teacher, same thing with Nezirut, and we continue with this two-way highway. Uma Nedarim, what else do we know about Nedarim? Av Mefer Nidre Bito, Val Mefer Nidre Ishto. As you see in the long passage on page 1, the Parsha Nedarim, a husband can repudiate the Nedarim of his wife if they are things that affect the two of them. We'll see it in the last parak, and on the day that he heard it, and a father can repudiate the Nedarim of his daughter, also B'yom Shomo. Af Nezirut, Av Mefer Nezirut Bito, Val Mefer Nezirut Ishto. So the same thing applies to Nezirut. A husband can repudiate the Nezirut of his wife, and a father can repudiate the Nezirut of his daughter, and again, only on the day that he heard about it. Now, Ma'ishna Gabe Nezirut. So why are you so quick to pick up, in other words, there's nothing in Lindor Neder that's new. We're taking the stuff that we know about Nedarim from elsewhere and applying it to Nezirut. So why are we saying that Yadot and Kinuyim come from Nazir Lahazir? Dichtiv Nazir Lahazir, Nedarim Nami, Aktiv Lindor Neder. You have a double language right there in the Pasuk about Nedarim. Why didn't you say Nazir Lahazir is to teach you the variations of the phrase and the abbreviated form of the phrase work for Nezirut? And Lindor Neder teaches the same thing about Nedarim, and you don't need the Hekesh at all. Hekesh Alamali. So Ikatav Neder Lindor, if it had this parallel phrasing, Nazir Lahazir, which is weird, and it said, Ishki Neder Lindor, Yiflafli Neder Lindor, then, Kedekhadav Nazir Lahazir, then Kedekhamart. Then I'm with you. You don't need a Hekesh because Neder Lindor is so bizarre that I understand it's expanding the Darim to Yadot and Kinuyim. Hashtiktiv Lindor Neder, but now that it says Lindor Neder, which is some much more familiar type of phrasing, Dibrat Torah Kilshon Bnei Adam. Now we have a machloket coursing through Shas. For instance, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva in one place, Rabbi Lezon Chacham in another place, about whether or not when we read the Torah, do we look at every extra word as being, as intimating something new, or do we say, it's talking the way that we talk? Haloch Yelech, indeed he walks. Does it teach you something extra? Lindor Neder. Right? In other words, how else could you say it? Lahadir. Or do we say this is the way the Torah talks? It's nothing unusual. So now, if that's the case, then we say, Lindor Ned, there is nothing unusual. You can't learn anything from it. So therefore, Nazir Lahazir is our source for Yadot, and then by the Hekesh, via the Hekesh, it then courses to Nedarim, and we have our two-way highway. So Hanech Lamandit Ledibar Torah Kushom Adam, that only works if you accept this idea that the Torah speaks in, shall we say, human lingo. But if you don't accept that principle and you read every extra word as teaching something new, then Hai Lindor Neder my Avinle. Then what is he doing with Lindor Neder if not Yadot and Kinuyim? In which case our Hekesh is out. The answer is Dorish Layasot Yadot and Darim Kendarim, and the answer is you're right. If you don't say Dirat Torkal Shomene Adam, then Neder Lindor teaches you that Yadot as surely as Nazir Lazir teaches you Yadot. Which means you don't need the Hekesh. Makish Nezirut Lindarim, but you have the Hekesh for a different purpose. Nazir Lazir Darishle, Malamed, Shanezirut Chalal Hanezirut. Nazir Lazir is not to teach you Yadot. Neder Lindor is there to teach you Yadot. And the Hekesh is there to now apply Yadot in the other direction, from Nedarim to Nezirut. So what's Nazir Lazir? To teach you a new principle, Shanezirut Chalal Hanezirut. If you're already a Nazir, and you, while you're a Nazir, you take an oath of Nezirut, you now have a double Nezirut. That is valid. Unlike, let's say, Shvua, Shenachal HaShvua. All right, so now we say, okay, good. If you accept the Dibra Torah Karel Shel Bnei Adam, then Nadir Nindor is nothing unusual. Nazir Lazir is unusual, and we use that as our source for Yadot. If you hold that Lo Dibra Torah Karel Shel Bnei Adam, or you don't accept that principle, then Nadir Lindor is extra. That teaches us Yadot. By the Hekesh, it then applies to Nazir. And Nazir Lazir is for a different halacha, but Nazirut Chala Nazirut. Now, we're going to still run into a problem because but according to the one who says that the Torah speaks in human lingo, if you will, and therefore Nazir Lazir is our source for Yadot, and Nedil and Dor is not a Drasha, then Masod Yadot Nazirut and Nazirut, Nazirut Chal Nazirut, Manale, how is he going to learn this other principle that Nazirut is Chal Nazirut? Because Nazir Lazir he had to use for Yadot and then apply it to Nedarim. So the answer is Hanechi Sphere Lake Commander Rain Nazirut Chal Nazirut. So it'll be work out fine if the same opinion who holds Dibra Torah Karel Shel Bnei Adam will also say, I don't accept the principle that Nazirut can overlay a Nazirut. If you're a Nazir and you take another oath of Nazirut, it's invalid. But if you have both things, you hold both that the Torah speaks in regular language and Nazirut can overlay a Nazirut. Manale, what's the answer is? What's the answer? The answer is, Neima Kra Lizor. The Pasuk could have said, not Nazir Lahazir, but Nazir Lizor. My Lahazir, why does it say it that way? Shabbat Minatarti. The answer is that the strange wording teaches you two principles, which is, one, Yadot Nazirut Ken Nazirut, and then you apply it to Neder. And the second one is Nazirut Chalal Nazirut. Of course, if you don't say Nazirut Chalal Nazirut, you have no problem. And if you hold the Lo Dibra Torah Karel Shel Bnei Adam, you have no problem either because you learn Yadot from Neder and apply it to Nazirut, and the Pasuk in Nazirut is Nazirut Chalal Nazirut. Tov, we've covered the first daf and a half, nearly two daf, Masachet Nedarim, and hopefully had a clarifying introduction, and we'll continue Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast from Daf Gimel Amud Bet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.